It's time to talk UK sports with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. This is the Leach Report Radio Network. Join in the discussion by tweeting your questions to at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com. And you can call 877-904-1080. Now, along with an outstanding lineup of guests and broadcast to the most passionate fan base in America, the Big Blue Nation, here's the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach.
Well, welcome into the Leach Report. This is not Tom Leach, or at least not yet. This is Larry Vaught sitting in for Tom Leach. I always appreciate that. Tom was a little busy yesterday, and I got to make sure I do this right because the Leach Report has always served up a wild eggs. But what we're going to serve up immediately to start today is a special guest. I guess it's okay to say special guest when it comes on his own show. But we got Tom Leach with us this morning. Tom, what a day yesterday. You had to have loved that.
That was a lot of fun, Larry. Kentucky football had a season that people are going to remember forever. I remember going to the games when the stadium first opened in the mid-70s, and the fifth year that the building had opened, they had the 10-1 season. And, you had great individual players like, Art Still and Derek Ramsey. And it's been a long wait, but to see that kind of year again and to see it with, again, just tremendous individual players. And then those were the guys that made most of the big plays in the game yesterday. It was just the way you'd probably want to script something like that for fans to just love it. And that's what they got to see yesterday. Probably 30,000 Kentucky fans down here in Orlando and all the ones that were listening and watching back home. And it was just a great day for the Big Blue Nation to relish an unexpected, I think, football season. I mean, I know you and I were optimistic. I don't know that we were thinking 10 wins, though.
No, but I believe we did say 8, so I want to kind of pat us on the back.
Yeah.
We did think the team was going to be better than a lot thought. And as I was watching yesterday and listening, I did think of 27-7. Let me admit, I thought it was over. I didn't give Penn State enough credit. They fought. But with the way Kentucky football goes, I think it was only fitting, Tom, that they had to fight and scrape and everything they could to hang on and pull out a win when you were kind of thinking, wow, they're going to let this one get away from them. But this group just didn't do it. They wouldn't do it. They really hung in there. And I think that made the win even more special.
Yeah, that's kind of been the personality of this team, really, for this three-year run of bowl games where it turned around. You think of, all those close games that they won. There's always that, notion that has that lingers that everybody's waiting for the impending doom. And I really think that started to change somewhat with Rich Brooks' tenure, and it's continued now under Mark Stoops. They've had, I think it's 16 one-possession games in this three-year run, and one possession being, I define that as 8 points or less when the other team could tie you with a two-point conversion. And those games, they've won 11 out of 16. So that's pretty good batting average in those kind of games. So they seem to be comfortable in them. They don't panic. They know how to win. I think my assumption or my guess is that when they went ahead 27-7 and Benny set the record and all that celebration, they just kind of lost their edge right there. And McSorley was so impressive. And on the next series, he completed a 3rd-and-18 throw, and yes, he started to get his rhythm and got a little scary.
Yeah, but and you give Penn State some credit because I thought they
absolutely
might have folded up. They didn't, so sometimes you just have to give the other team some credit. But again, what an incredible atmosphere, what an enjoyable season it had to be for you, Tom, and losing a lot of really good players. But the best thing about it, when you lose really good players like that, at least it looks like there's other really good players on the way or in waiting to make this team where it can keep going the right direction.
Well, you look at what DeAndre Square and Chris Oates did yesterday. Filling in for Jordan Jones. Cash Daniels is coming back, had a big sack in the first half. Lynn Bowden's back. He was sensational yesterday. This came out yesterday, but I walked up on an interview with him, and he subbed himself in again in that punt return. And so he's 2 for 2 at doing that.
He needs to do it more.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he probably will next season. You know, you'll have Josh Pascal healthy. You know, I think they've got some exciting players. So, you know, it's not a one. I don't think this is a 1 year wonder. I think they're built to last.
Yeah, they sure are. Tom, what will be the top thing you'll remember about this team, do you think?
Oh, I think just the great individual players. I saw Benny here at the hotel last night after the game, and actually rode in the elevator with him. And I saw Josh after the game, and I just told both of them, I really enjoyed watching you play. You know, back to that 77 season, it was just a joy to watch a guy like Art Still, somebody that's that good at what they do, Anthony Davis on the basketball team. You know, those, to be able to, when you're a follow a team or you're a fan of a team, and one of the guys that you get to see game in and game out is one of the best in the country at his position, at what he does, that's a treat. You know, that doesn't happen often, not just here, but anywhere. Right. And it's fun to get to watch people that are that good at what they do do it. And it was just a treat to watch. I mean, Josh yesterday, he comes out of that rush dance like he looks like Usain Bolt out of a sprint, and he just fires out of the blocks, and you can almost see it coming at times. There were times when he's matched up one on one against a tackle, and you almost feel sorry for the tackle.
Yeah, well, not too sorry. Again,
no, not too sorry. And it was just from selfishly from my standpoint, for Benny to break the record on a touchdown run. I mean, if you're an announcer, that's kind of a dream scenario.
Yeah, it certainly is. And also, well, appreciate you trusting me to handle this post bowl edition like that. You'll be back in the big chair tomorrow, so have a safe trip home.
Actually, I'm going to take a couple of days off and go over from here to Alabama for the basketball game. So I am going to be off the show for the rest of the week and do the basketball game Saturday. So I think you, Cameron, and Curtis Birch are holding down the fort for the next 3 days. So I appreciate that.
Well, you start with the best, and you just work your way up. And it's okay. You'll be back next week. So
put your leadoff man up there, get on base, and get things
started. Right. Set the table for him. That's exactly right. So, all right, Tom. We'll have a good rest of the week. We'll be listening to you again on Saturday with the UK-Alabama basketball game from Tuscaloosa.
Thanks, Larry.
All right. Stay with us here on the Leach Report. When we come back, we'll have Chris Fisher from the Cats Files, and we'll talk more about Kentucky's Citrus Bowl win yesterday over Penn State.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach KY.
Welcome back to the Leach Report. This is Larry Vogt sitting in for Tom Leach, who just joined us on his own show, which is kind of nice to have to talk about the bowl win yesterday. But right now, really glad to have, as always, on his segments on the show, Chris Fisher of the Catspaws on 24/7 Sports Network. And Chris, pretty cool day for Kentucky football yesterday.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. This is one that I think Kentucky fans are going to remember for a really, really long time. And it wasn't easy, but since when has anything been easy for Kentucky football? And I'm not sure you could have scripted it any better, really, with, you know, Josh Allen and Benny Snell authoring the ends to what's been a historic 2018 season and, you know, really career-defining moments for them as well.
It really is, Chris. I mean, it's really amazing. I think probably even here in the state, at times, we kind of take for granted or maybe didn't even realize just how good Mark Stoops' defense was this year. I was reading a note this morning where Kentucky was the only Power 5 school that gave up 24 points or only gave up more than 24 points in one game this year. They ranked in the top 25 of the majority of defensive statistics. I'm just not sure we probably, even as good as this season was, I'm not sure we even appreciated just how good this defense was.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the end of the third quarter and with Benny Snell setting the rushing record and you know, Trace McSorley coming back in the game, that was such a huge momentum shift in that game, and it really shows you how important momentum can be over the course of a game. But it turned on a dime, and it looked like, you know, Kentucky was in the danger zone there. But the defense got, like they have all season, they got that one stop they needed, held them to a field goal, and then handed it over to Benny Snell to salt it away. And so, like I said, I'm not sure you could have authored a better ending than that. But Kentucky's defense has been pretty dominant all season long. And, you know, Josh Allen adding three more sacks and a blocked field goal to his resume, which has to go down, I think, is, you know, one of, if not the best single season or defensive season in Kentucky football history.
It did. I watched Art Steele's season in 1977. I know you're a little young to have watched that season, but to me, those are the only two that compared. I mean, Art was a different type player, it was a different type game back there, but the season Josh had, all the things that he did. I mean, I'd like to think we'll see another player like that play at Kentucky. I'm just not sure we will, because you just don't find them very often.
Yeah, absolutely. And just his, you know, his story from start to finish, I mean, being a former two-star recruit, you know, barely top 100 at his position in the country, and really was, you know, considered a late throw-in to that 2015 class. And, oh, you know, maybe he'll be a reliable backup by the time he's a senior or something like that. And yeah. I think he cracked the starting lineup four games into his freshman year and has never let up. And he made the decision to come back last January, and it's literally made him millions and millions of dollars. I mean, there's really nothing he can't do on the defensive side of the ball, and saw where he was campaigning yesterday to be the number one overall pick. And I think as yeah. time has gone by this season, there's more of a chance of that happening.
I was going to say, I thought that was the best thing about the way the press conference ended yesterday, that Stoops answers the last question and Josh goes, oh, wait a minute, I got one more thing to say. If I'm not number one, I don't know who he is. I loved every minute of that myself.
Yeah, that was definitely great. And with the Arizona Cardinals picking number one, I mean, they're not going to take a quarterback there, so I think they could be in the market for a pass rusher, and I'm not sure there's a better one than Josh Allen.
Absolutely at all. So, talking with Chris Fisher here on the Leach Report, this is Larry Vault sitting in for Tom Leach this morning. Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Chris about what implications this Big Bowl win might have on future recruiting here on the Leach Report.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
Welcome back to the Leach Report. This is Larry Vault sitting in for Tom Leach this morning. Just got a message from my buddy Jessica Cornelius in Stanford. Says she's listening in as she's driving home from the Citrus Bowl this morning. So I think that's probably a lot of Kentucky fans doing that, a huge crowd down there for that game. Chris is what might have expected, but you specialize in recruiting and kind of getting a feel for what's going on. How much will not just this season, but even getting a bowl win on national TV the way that Kentucky did, how much impact can that have on 2020 recruiting?
Yeah, I think, you know, like a lot of people, recruits were, you know, sitting around the TV on New Year's Day watching football, and they're seeing the Georgia and Texas and Ohio State and you know, Mississippi State, Iowa, and they're seeing Kentucky, and they're seeing Kentucky, you know, beat Penn State in a New Year's Day bowl game and win 10 games for, you know, the first time in 41 years. And I think that's absolutely huge. You don't typically see the dividends of something like that until the year after. And so, yeah, I think you're right. I think 2020 is going to be where we see a huge impact for Kentucky on the recruiting trail. But, you know, they've had classes in the 20s and 30s. I think the average of the Kentucky's recruiting classes since Mark Stoops has been here has been around 32. And so, you know, that's still probably near the bottom of the SEC. But I think if you're Kentucky, you don't have to necessarily, you know, get top five and top 10 recruiting classes. You just can't be at the bottom. And they've closed that talent gap considerably, I think, over the last couple of years. And when you start stacking those classes one on top of the other, you get a situation like this season where you finally have a blend of talent and experience. And so I think that's when your program really starts to take off and you get some consistency. You don't have the ups and downs from year to year. And I think the foundation has definitely been laid for Mark Stoops to have success at Kentucky.
Yeah, because I think that's a really good point, Chris. You're talking about Kentucky. Let's say if they're 30th, that might be 10th in the SEC or 11th in the SEC. But that's a lot better than the years when you were 63rd in the recruiting
right.
rankings. And that's a huge gap to get. I mean, if you're I don't know, you know more about this than me, but I don't know if you're 30th or if you're 15th, if that's really that big a talent difference gap or not. But then when you can develop players like Mark Stoops has, I mean, realistically, they can stay around the 30 mark or in there. I like what they can do going forward.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, Kentucky's not going to have the difference makers that, you know, maybe Alabama or Georgia has. That's what makes them Alabama and Georgia. But at the same time, yeah, they've closed that talent gap considerably. We saw, you know, what Rich Brooks was able to do with recruiting classes that were ranked much lower than Kentucky's are now. And so I don't think there's really that big of a difference between, you know, the top 20 or top 15, top 20, top 30, top 35 classes. And that's the range that Kentucky's been hovering in. But more so than that, I think it's finding guys like Josh Allen. And I understand he's, you know, maybe a once in a generation type of talent, but finding guys like Josh Allen, finding guys like Benny Snell, who, you know, may not be your top high-end 4- and 5-star guys, but really fit your system well and fit your blueprint and are going to come in and work hard and develop themselves. And I think that's where your real difference makers are if you're Kentucky.
Absolutely. And just I'm just curious, yesterday I see that Benny Snell gets a shout out from the Rams running back Todd Gurley on social media. When something like that happens, do future players, I mean, do recruits pay attention to those kind of things on social media? Or is that just something an old guy like me looks at and says, wow, that's pretty cool? Or is that pretty big when you get things like that happening for your program recruiting-wise?
I mean, if it's happening on social media, I'm willing to bet that recruits are paying attention to it. Yeah, I saw the shout out from Todd Gurley, which is really, really cool for Benny Snell and to set the record really the way he did with, you know, that 12-yard scoring run to put Kentucky up 20 at the end of the third quarter. I also thought was really, really fitting. I thought Benny was going to have his work cut out for him going against that Penn State front seven. But, you know, bowl games are a lot about motivation, and Kentucky had plenty to play for yesterday, both individually and collectively. And I thought going into the game that was going to give them a big edge, and it did.
It certainly did. And also, Chris, I always appreciate it. You can read Chris's stuff, The Cat's Files, a 24/7 network. You can follow him on Twitter at ChrisFisher247. I would suggest you do that. He's a really good follow. So thanks again, Chris. Really appreciate your time this morning.
Okay, Larry. Have a good one.
All right. Stay with us when we get ready to come back here on the Leach Report. We're going to be talking with Paul Washington. His son is PJ Washington, who plays basketball for Kentucky. So we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk with Paul when we come back on the Leach Report.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and The Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
Welcome back to The Leach Report. This is Larry Vogt sitting in for Tom Leach this morning. Just a reminder, as always, The Leach Report is served up by Wild Eggs. And again, appreciate Tom letting me be in here today. It's a pretty cool day to be in the day after Kentucky wins the Citrus Bowl, gets his 10th win of the season. But going to shift gears just a little bit now and talk about basketball, because Kentucky does open the Southeastern Conference schedule on Saturday with a game at Alabama, and got nobody better to talk about UK basketball than my buddy Paul Washington. His son PJ as a sophomore on the University of Kentucky basketball team. So, Paul, appreciate you taking a little time to be with us this morning to talk some UK basketball.
Oh, no problem. Anytime for you.
I'm wondering, did you get a chance to watch any of the football game yesterday?
I watched a little. Not a lot of it. I had to work yesterday, but I saw some highlights of it. I was pretty pretty proud of the team, man, and they finished the year strong at the 10 wins and basically did a lot of things that nobody thought they'd be able to do.
That's exactly right. And, of course, at one time, PJ, your son, played a little bit of football, didn't he?
Yeah, people don't realize football was his first love. I mean, he was a defensive specialist. I think he'd have gave Josh Allen a run for his money, let him tell it. But yeah, he loves football.
Well, I get that part about let him tell it. That's pretty good there. And also, but I'm going to tell you, when you look at this season and how Kentucky has kind of put things back together after losing that game to Duke, and I've got to admit, I thought the last two games, PJ had two of his better games, even though they weren't his highest scoring games. But then I thought, well, I'm going to just kind of check the stats out today before we get Paul on here, so I sound like I'm know what I'm talking about. Averaging 12.6 points a game, which is about what I thought it would be. But here's the thing that kind of surprised me, Paul: 8.4 rebounds per game, first on the team. 28 assists, second on the team. 16 blocks, first on the team. 53% from the field. He's hitting 45% from 3-point range. Hitting almost 70% from at the free throw line. His numbers are just pretty darn incredible all the way across the board this year.
Yeah, he really put an emphasis over the offseason work on his total game. You know, we worked on his shooting, we worked on his passing, worked on his rebounding. Just kind of emphasized a lot of different things. You know, a lot of people look at basketball and only think scoring is the biggest thing. But for PJ, he's just a winner. I mean, he wants to win. So if the team needs 29 or 30 points and it's his day to do it, he'll do it. If they need 5 points and, you know, 8 rebounds, to do that. So it's just a matter of kind of what the team needs to win. And he's not one of those guys that go out there and unhappy, you know, when somebody else scores 20-plus points. I mean, he's happy for everybody. I mean, he just wants to win.
And that's kind of been the theme of his whole career. When I watched him in high school, that's how he was. At times he had to score more for your team and his team to win.
Yeah.
But he's a very team-first, winning-first guy more than anything.
Yeah, you know, he grew up, we kind of make more emphasis on the pass, giving a good pass, than we do a shot, you know, growing up. So you'll see him celebrating on, you know, if he gives somebody a good pass just as much as if he had a three-pointer or a dunk. So, yeah, he's just a winner. And it's kind of tough, you know, because the media and the pressure and stuff, people think a good game is 20 points. But, you know, for him, it's about winning and doing what it takes for that team to win.
I don't know how you feel, but like I say, I thought the game against North Carolina and the game against Louisville, I'm not sure he's had better back-to-back games. He's had better back-to-back scoring games, but I'm not sure he's had better back-to-back games. I don't think it's a coincidence that's the two biggest wins Kentucky has this season are those two games.
Yeah, if you look at North Carolina game, I think the going into it, it was to stop, you know, Luke May, which is, you know, preseason All-American. You know, he's a senior. So PJ's ability to be able to stretch the floor and get out there and guard on the perimeter with that 7'3" wingspan and pretty much focus on that and rebounding. And that's kind of what he did, took Luke out of his game. And then, you know, he scored when he needed to score, but he always told me, he said, "Dad, they doubled and triple teamed me." So he said he told Reed during North Carolina game that, "Be ready because I'm going to give it to you. So just be ready for it." And that's where you saw, you know, the little hook around passes or the little side passes to Reed for the dunk or the and one. So those are the kind of things that he's smart enough, being a coach's son, to recognize, you know what, if they're going to double, triple team me, there's no way for me to force a shot. I'm going to find somebody else and I'll see it before it happens. And make sure Reed understands it's coming, and then that way we'll win the game. And that's kind of what he did. So, and then, you know, typical PJ, once he knows he's getting close to a triple-double, he'll give up a layup to try to give somebody else a shot so he can get that triple-double. So he was really focused on that triple-double in North Carolina.
Yeah, and he almost got it because he had 8 assists. I thought he was going to get it, but for a guy like him to have 8 assists, as you said, pretty incredible accomplishment. But that's what North Carolina was giving him. And, I mean, I thought that was the best he's done at passing the ball all season.
Yeah, if you look at the maturity from last year when we played Kansas around the same time, Kansas, that was the first game as a freshman when we played Kansas, they started double-teaming PJ. And you see the growth from that year to this year when the team tried to take him out the game and double-team him, he's still able to be effective. So I definitely see the growth from a freshman to a sophomore.
And I also think last year a lot didn't understand he played, what, over almost half the season with that broken finger. I'm not sure a lot of us, and I would include me in that, probably understood how difficult that was, because one, PJ never used it as an excuse. In fact, never really wanted to even talk about it. But playing basketball with a broken finger for that many games is not a real pleasant thing to always be doing.
No, it's not. But, the coaches did a good job of making sure he was still effective. He never used it as an excuse. Coach Cal, Kenny Payne, Justice, Barber, they all did a good job of, making sure he was in the right spot at the right time for him to be effective. If you notice, some point during that season, he stopped shooting a lot of jumpers. And I think that finger definitely was a key to that. So they wanted him basically to finish inside. So the coaching staff did a great job of putting him in the spots that he needed to be effective with that injury.
And as a former coach and as a parent both, I would think you've got to really be happy with what you've seen, not just from PJ, but seen from this team the last two games.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how, in the beginning of the year, I've only been doing this 2 years with Kentucky, but, everybody, the expectations, and they jump on the coaching staff and Calipari, but, I mean, they always find a way, Cal, after the Christmas break, find a way to figure out the roles for everybody. And he'll get them in the conference play and they'll do a good job. So I think the coaching staff has done a great job of figuring out, what each kid needs to do for this team to be successful. And he's kind of focusing on them to do it. And I love the way Calipari is something needs to be player centered. So that means they got to lead by example. They got to be able to share the ball. And, if I think I heard him say in the news the other day after the Louisville game, if Kelvin or Hero is not making shots, what else are you doing? And I think those guys are finding ways. Hero with the ability to get those steals and play a little on-ball defense, and Kelvin with his rebounding has really picked up in the last few games. So they're finding different ways to be effective when the ball's not going in the basket, when you're not scoring. And I think that's what ultimately is going to make this team successful.
I was going to say, you mentioned Kelvin. I think, didn't you coach against him a couple times, Paul?
You know what? I don't think we played Oak Hill that year. When I played him, he wasn't on the team. He was at Huntington Prep, so I didn't. He didn't make it to the game when we played, and they lost right before we played him. So I didn't get a chance to coach again.
Okay, I couldn't remember that at all. So, when you kind of look ahead for the rest of the season, what kind of things you trying to are hoping to kind of maybe see out of PJ improvement wise going forward? I mean, when you and him are talking, what do you kind of emphasize to him that you think he still needs to do better?
Well, I mean, I'm always harping on him about rebounding and averaging a double-double. So to continue to get those rebounds up over 10, I think it's something that he can do. I think he's definitely focused on rebounding more this year than what he was last year. And I just try to, tell him to do what the coaches want him to do, score in those positions, pass in those positions, and be a team player. Ultimately, at the end of the day, the farther they go, in the tournament, the better it is for everybody. So, we really don't talk about scoring or stuff like that. We just talk about rebounding and, his free throws and just how he feels, his mindset going into the game. But to be honest with you, Larry, I don't talk too much basketball with him. I try to be his dad. He gets basketball a lot from, those guys who make a lot more money than me. So, I just try to make sure his mental right and keep the stress off of him.
Well, and probably that's something you really need when you have that spotlight at Kentucky. You certainly need that. Again, this is Larry Vaught sitting in for Tom Leach this morning, talking with Paul Washington. His son is P.J. Washington, sophomore at the University of Kentucky. Stay with us when we come back. I'm going to talk to Paul a little bit about what life in Kentucky has been like for him this year. So stay with us here on the Leach Report. We'll be back with Paul Washington.
For the Leach Report on Facebook. Show updates, contests, and other cool stuff. Check it out today.
Welcome back to the Leach Report. This is Larry Vaught sitting in for Tom Leach today, who's taking as he mentioned to us earlier when he did a guest spot on his own show, taking a couple days off down in Florida, then heading over to Tuscaloosa for the UK-Alabama game on Saturday. It'll start Southeastern Conference play for John Calipari's team. Right now we have Paul Washington. His son is P.J. Washington, sophomore on the Kentucky basketball team, who is leading the team in reboundings with 8.4 per game, leading the team in block shots with 16, second in assists with 28, averaging 12.6 points per game, shooting 53% from the field, 45% from three-point range, and 69% from the foul line. And, Paul, last year when P.J. was a freshman, you were in Las Vegas coaching and sometimes kind of had to watch from afar. Now you're working in the state of Kentucky where you're around and with Kentucky fans every day. How's the change been to be here in Kentucky during basketball season versus, say, last year when you were here as much as you could, but still kind of out and away from here a lot?
Yeah, I think last year, the only time I saw, I saw a few Kentucky fans in Vegas. If I was traveling with my team and in the airport, I'll see a couple Kentucky shirts and we'll say BBN. But here it's just been unreal. I mean, this state is amazing. They really get behind their team and support the team. And, it's amazing when people recognize who I am. They always come up to me and want to know, is PJ Washington really my son? I said, am I his father? I said, no, he really is my son. And the first couple of times I really had to, sometimes they want to see a picture, like they didn't believe me. It was funny to me. He's just PJ to me. But it's a great state, man. And I really enjoy, this is our second go around living here. So it's been good. It's been good.
So when you're here now, it also gives you the ability, I mean, not just to see games, but just to get up and kind of see PJ a little bit more. And I would think, as you talk about being the dad in you, I would think that's probably been good for you and him both.
Yeah, we were, we finally got to, our whole family got to be together here over the holidays. And my daughter, which still goes to school in Vegas at Bishop Gorman, she plays volleyball. And she was saying that, PJ is my favorite. And I said, well, why do you say that? And she said, because you always go to his games and you go to all his stuff. I said, well, Alex, last year I went to all your stuff. And PJ said, yeah, I barely even saw Dad or Mom last year. So, for our family, it's crazy how they all think, one kid is a favorite of the other. But it's been good just to be a parent, to go up there to take some of the pressure off of him. I try to go see him at least once a week and spend time with him in his dorm, hang out, with the fellas, go to practice. So I'm definitely around the program a lot. So I enjoy it.
And again, the good and bad of Kentucky basketball, as we kind of point out sometimes, is that everybody knows a little bit about it or thinks they know a little bit about it. So I'm assuming also by being here in the state, you've probably seen more of the when people are ready to jump off the bandwagon, people ready to jump back in on the bandwagon. You knew a lot about that, what it was going to be like when PJ came here. You just kind of shake your head, or do you avoid reading and listening to a lot of things too?
No, I mean, I read, I read, watch, I look at Twitter and all that stuff, and I read the news articles, so I look at all of it. PJ really is more level-headed than his parents. He tell my wife, and Sherry, he tells us not to respond to it and stuff like that, and I think I've only responded one time this year to some ridiculous tweet, but that's doing good for me, and I try to tell PJ, once you have a child, then you'll understand from a parent standpoint when people just go, going crazy on your kid. But I think the only thing I responded to is some guy said PJ Washington Jr. is redundant, and I had to let him know that the J was for his middle name. It wasn't for Junior in PJ, and it's not redundant. And that was my only thing. I thought he was taking a jab more at me and my family than PJ, so. But I've been good this year. I swear I've been good, man.
Well, and I noticed Sherry has too. That's your wife, and I know it's even more difficult for her than it is for you.
Yeah, she got that mama bear syndrome. So, luckily she's not here as much as I am, but she's still bleeding from Vegas. She still reads everything and look at everything. But like I said, PJ's done a good job of keeping us at bay and, tell us don't worry about it and stuff. And it being the second year, you really don't. I think it really gets to you that first year, gets under your skin.
And I know, obviously, PJ considered going to the NBA, weighed his different options, just looked at things. I think sometimes people got a little misconstrued or got things the wrong way, thinking, well, he's probably disappointed he had to come back to Kentucky. I don't think that was ever the feeling of PJ. He just wanted to kind of see what was out there. I mean, I get the feeling he loves being here at Kentucky, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, we did exactly what we said. We were going to test the waters because the NCAA allowed you to do that. If we had a guarantee in the first round, then he would have left. If he didn't, then he was coming back to school. That was what we said from day one, and that was at the end what we did. So it's not that he didn't like Kentucky at all or he didn't like the college atmosphere. He really did. It's just amazing when you don't say anything to people in the news, and they just come up with different stories and stuff like that. But he enjoys being a college kid. I mean, he enjoys his team. He really enjoyed the team last year. He's really enjoyed. It's a totally different dynamic this year with the team. And, you know, he's playing with them in the gym with them on video games. I mean, they're really a true family atmosphere. So, he enjoys his college life.
And I tell you, I think fans are going to enjoy this team more and more. I really think we've just seen a glimpse of what they're going to still do, Paul. I think there's still a lot of upside for this team.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of basketball. I mean, you look at a kid like Ashton, and I think it was, beginning of the year, he was coming in trying to find his way, and how did he fit in with all these different All-Americans, and now he's doing a good job of, you know, recognizing that, hey, I belong here, and I'm going to make it work. So, and you'll see that in all the kids, you know, some peaks and valleys, and hopefully by, you know, middle of January, February, they'll kind of level off, and you kind of see the true player. I mean, you got a kid like E.J. Montgomery that's doing a good job of trying to fill his way, and, you know, he's got some big shoes to fill and come in and play a bag-up role, and that's different for a lot of these kids. It's, you know, coming out of high school has been the man. So I think E.J.'s doing a great job, and he just got to carve out different ways to make an impact. And, you know, you look at Reed and, you know, coming from Stanford and the stability that he's bringing to this lineup, and, you know, you can count on him to almost give you a double-double every night. I mean, you look at the guard players. From a coaching standpoint, it's tough to coach against this because you never know who's going to have the hot hand. I think we got four kids in double figures. I mean, and any of them could be the leading scorer that night. So it's a truly a team atmosphere. I think Calipari and his staff has done a great job this year of making it be about the players and making them to love each other and love passing the ball and sharing the ball. And it's hard to guard when you're doing that.
Absolutely, and all. And your son's a huge, huge part of that. So, as always, Paul, appreciate the time you always give me. So, appreciate you joining us for a few minutes today on the Leach Report. Look forward to seeing PJ and the rest of the team back in action Saturday when they play down in Alabama. So, looking forward to maybe having you back on again, Paul.
All right, no problem, Larry. Thanks a lot, man. Go BBN, baby.
Absolutely correct. Stay with us. We'll be back to wrap up this edition of the Leach Report. This is Larry Vaught sitting in for Tom Leach today.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the Leach Report. This is Larry Valpin sitting in for Tom this morning. Obviously, Tom joined us early to talk about the huge win Kentucky had in the Citrus Bowl yesterday. Gave it 10 wins for the first time since 1977, when I'm one of the people, Shannon, that did watch the 1977 team play in person, so didn't think it'd take me 41 years to see another 10-win season, and hope it doesn't take another 10 for Kentucky to get to that point. But as always, Shannon, appreciate you getting me through this today. Without you, I'd be as lost as anybody could be. So thank you. Thank you to Chris Fisher. Thank you to Paul Washington for joining us today. Again, Cameron Mills will be in for Tom tomorrow. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to The Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow The Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com. See you.